Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How are you now? How are you right now? They're still on the road, and the games are still ending a little bit later than some of us out in the East Coast would like. But hello and welcome to episode 70 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake. And we're here to talk about the road trip continuing for your Montreal Canadiens, this time against the Kraken in Seattle at Climate Pledge Arena, where the ice looked like absolute dog shit. And yes, they were saving on water, or maybe they, I don't know what they were doing, but that ice looked like crap. Anyways, it is two non-playoff teams. The Kraken, I guess they have a shot still at making it into the playoffs. Probably not a very good one, you could say. They basically got to win out at this point, I think. So this is kind of a battle between two sort of tanking teams at this point. And I don't know. It's not necessarily been fun for the Habs on this Western road trip. They kind of, I think, need a confidence booster. They've been without their coach for a while, and just nothing seems to be going super well for them in any games. Even when they play well, they just can't get a win. So kind of needed one to roll their way a little bit. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to go through the recap, everything that happened in that one. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to try to keep this one kind of short because it is late, as I mentioned. But first, the tournament is here. Talking about March Madness, of course, folks. And BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. So head to BetOnline today, get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. And your Montreal Canadiens started their game against the Seattle Kraken pretty poorly, I would say. Now, the first thing that stuck out for me was honestly the jerseys that the Kraken were wearing. They're wearing these stupid, like, striped jerseys. So they got, like, a light blue stripe, a dark blue stripe, a white stripe. And then the logo is, like, a pinkish red. Like, it's they're the stupidest looking things I've ever seen. And I'm commenting on it in the EOTP Slack chat. And Scott Matlick comes back and tells me, these are their 1918 throwback jerseys. And I go, you got to be fucking kidding me. This team is still trying to create manufacture history that just really doesn't exist, because we're talking about when did Seattle have a team in 1918? Well, they did, but it was called the Seattle Metropolitans. And yes, they did beat the Montreal Canadiens and win a Stanley Cup, but that franchise has nothing to do with the one that's currently there. That would be like the Montreal Canadiens claiming all of the wins from the Montreal Wanderers and the Montreal Maroons, so on and so forth. You don't just get to claim wins by other teams that played in the same city as you previously that have absolutely nothing to do with your current franchise. But I digress. The period, that wasn't the reason the period started poorly. It was just kind of dominated by the Kraken early on. Matty Beniers had a really good chance, puck was kind of stuck in the Habs zone a lot more than they would like in the early goings there. It takes them nearly 5 minutes to get their first shot on goal, but you know how it goes, right? Sometimes it takes you 5 minutes to get your first shot on goal. The chances of that goal going in seem to go up the longer that it takes for you to get it, and it goes in. It's a weak point shot from Caden Gooley. It looks like it gets tipped by Juraj Slafkovský out in front. It's 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. They would actually take a look at that later on and say Slafkovský did not touch it and give the goal to Gooley. So that was his sixth of the season there, giving the Habs a lead. And guess the fuck what? A couple of minutes later, they stay hot. It's Caden Gooley again from the point, this time with a much harder shot, and this time it definitely was tipped by Alex Newhook on the way. Gets it past Philip Grubauer, and the Habs are 2-for-2 with their shots on the night, and it's 2-0. Grubauer didn't actually have to make a save until the third shot, which was about 12 minutes into the period, and they got their third shot on goal. And then the Habs get the first power play of the game with about 7 minutes left in the period. And it looks pretty bad. And I feel like this could be a turning point, right? They've only got a 2-goal lead. It's the worst lead in hockey. And they are the worst team in hockey with a lead. So what's going to happen here? Is this going to be the point of the game where the tide turns? It is not. It is not. Nick Suzuki, not long after the failed power play, gets a 2-on-1 coming down the ice with Cole Caulfield. You expect him to make a pass in this situation, do you not? Cole Caulfield's on the other side, and that's the best shooter on the team. No. Nick Suzuki absolutely snipes it off the bar and in. It's 3-0 before the Montreal Canadiens. And then before they even announce that goal, the Habs are pressing in the offensive zone again. This time, Alex Newhook gets the puck in the faceoff circle and just goes short side with it for his second of the game. That's 4-0 for the Montreal Canadiens on 7 shots. And yes, that was the end of the night for Philip Grubauer right there. Really not his night this time. He lets in 4 on 7 shots, and they go to Joey Decord from there on out. We go into the second period, and the Habs have a big lead. But the Kraken had a pretty big advantage in shot attempts in the first period. Not so much for actual shots. That was pretty close. High danger chances were dead even. So it wasn't all luck for the Montreal Canadiens. It was some bad goaltending. But also, it wasn't there wasn't a whole lot separating the two teams in that first period. But the Kraken get a chance early in the second period, not even one that I would consider high danger, and it goes. Jordan Eberle is sent in. He's 1-on-1 against Caden Gooley. He just stays wide and shoots. And, he gets one off the bar and in, much like Nick Suzuki did from a very similar spot on the ice. And then we get soft hooks that go back and forth, right? They call one on Seattle first, then one on Montreal. And the Kraken, they get their power play out there and they draw a little bit closer. So Matty Beniers gets a tip in front of the net. All of a sudden it's 4-2, but hang on a second, we get an offside review. Trevor Letowski, he saw something there. And it turns out Matty Beniers put himself offside. He was doing an entry pass over the line and beat his own entry pass over the line. And as a result, that's offside. So the goal gets called back and we're back to 4-1. And then Montreal Canadiens are shorthanded just past the midway point of the period. And look out. Mike Matheson gets the puck in his own slot, and he decides to just carry it out of the zone. That's a good choice because he ends up with a 1-on-1 against Thomas Tatar, and he just goes around him, dangles Joey Decord out of his fucking jockstrap, and makes it 5-1 for the Montreal Canadiens. An absolutely ridiculous shorthanded goal by Mike Matheson. Just wonderful stuff to watch. And the Habs, they go into the third period with a 5-1 lead. Can they hold it?
Seems like an odd question to have to ask, but with the way that this Habs team has played with leads, you feel like none of them are safe, not even a 5-1. So you go into the third period wondering exactly my question: are they going to be able to hold this one? And the answer is yes, they do hold that one. It was a pretty uneventful third period, honestly. Aside from Caden Primeau had to make some really nice saves, he really performed well in that third period, where the Habs kind of, as I said, they're a bad team with a lead, but you give them, 20 minutes remaining in the game, that's it, and they've got 4. They're going to sit back on that. Now, that being said, most teams will probably sit back on a 5-1 lead in the third period. It's not the smartest thing to do. You should probably continue on pushing, but that third period, that's why I'm not giving you much of a recap on it, because there wasn't a whole lot going on aside from a few really good saves by Caden Primeau. So Habs close it out. They get the 5-1 win over Seattle, and Team Tank Nation, probably pretty upset about that one, because let's face facts, all right? They were pretty decent in the first period. They were okay in the second period, and they were brutal in the third period. They sat on that lead. They said, all right, we got 4. We're going to go ahead and sit on it. And You know, it's not the ideal way to get a win when you had to rely on some suspect goaltending at the other end. But I would argue most of the goals they scored were, they were good goals. They weren't, it's not like Grubauer was absolutely horrible in the first period. I mean, the way that they were getting those goals, I mean, even the first one, right? You might sit there and say, okay, that's a shitty shot by Caden Gooley, but there's a lot of traffic. That puck's bouncing around. And it looked like Juraj Slafkovský even touched it right in front of the net. Keep going down the line. Like, the only one that I thought was suspect was the second new hook goal. The second new hook goal, like, his first one was a tip on a really good shot by Caden Gooley. That's tough for any goaltender to stop when there's a redirection like that and there's traffic out front. But the second one was weak. That's a short side, not even one of Newhook's best shots, and it beats Grubauer. So, you know, there is a measure there of suspect goaltending for Seattle helping the Habs out in that game. But I felt like most of their five goals were well-earned. Even against good goaltending, they could have been well-earned goals. So I don't necessarily think that we have too much to be upset about that from a tank perspective. Yes, that was a game that you probably ideally want to lose, but the other thing that I would note for Tank Nation there is that we've got a very rough stretch of games coming up for the Montreal Canadiens. They're going to be on Tuesday night in Colorado to face the Avalanche. That's the end of the road trip. And then they've got the Flyers at home and the Hurricanes at home and the Panthers at home, the Lightning and the Leafs. So they got a long homestand against all current playoff teams. I think the Flyers are a playoff team anyways, but they're, at the very least, they're battling for a playoff spot. So they're going to be playing very hard in that game. And you know, the Canes, Panthers, Lightning, and Leafs, they're all jockeying for just positioning in the playoffs. And they're all far superior teams on paper. So those should all be losses in all likelihood. Most of them should be losses. And the Avalanche on Tuesday night, that's, I'm scared of that game because it's going to be the last late game that we got to watch this season on the Western road trip. And I really don't see that one going very well for the Habs whatsoever with how good the Avalanche are. So look, Team Tank, all I'm trying to tell you is, you know, let's not get too upset about that one because I think some losses are on deck for the Habs really soon here. And I don't know if you guys can hear it through the mic, but I'm losing my voice as I continue to record this podcast. So this is probably going to be one of the shorter BSMs that you've heard this season. But before we get to the end, I got to give you a player of the game. For me in that one, I'm going to go with Caden Gooley. I think there was a case there to go with Caden Primo, but I'll talk about him afterwards. Caden Gooley, that was one of the best games I've seen him play in a while, especially on the offensive side of the puck. You know, he's had a rough go this year. And he's had a rough go since he joined the Habs because he's basically just been thrust immediately up into playing against the top opposition every night and eating big minutes against really, really, really elite players. And, you know, I don't think it's been perfect. I think maybe people have cooled a little bit on his potential. Once he gets to, like, you know, his prime, I guess for defenders, he's probably entering his prime about now or next year. But you see in a game like that the offensive potential that he really has. And it's maybe not flashy on the level of somebody like Lane Hutson, right? But he gets it done, and he gets it done efficiently. And a lot of it is just from those quick shots at the point. A lot of it is just moving the puck up ice with a really good outlet pass. It's just the simple, small things in his game that make him successful. And, you know, he saw it in that one, just in one period of play, he had a goal and two assists. Really, just good work on his part to get that game going for the Habs from the blue line. And they need him to continue being able to do that. This is a league where, you know, having success requires you to have a certain level of production coming from your blue line. And the Habs have one of the more exciting groups of prospects coming up. You see, Logan Mailloux is number two right now in the AHL for overall for scoring among defensemen. Unbelievable. And Lane Hutson playing very well. David Reinbacher comes over. The Laval Rocket are undefeated since they got David Reinbacher. They've got some really good players coming up through the ranks. And as long as a guy like Caden Gooley can continue doing what he's doing, I think, you know, them getting better around him is going to take some pressure off him, and we're going to be able to see more games like this where he can impose himself on the offensive side of the puck. So, great game from him. Well-deserved player of the game. And then I got to talk about Caden Primo. I mean, he had the game of his life, right, with that shutout on home ice. And then his very next game was a little bit rough. And then now he comes back, and, you know, you're wondering, what's he going to do? How's he going to follow that up? And he follows it up with another fantastic game. I mean, he wasn't tested, you know, left, right, and center by the Kraken. But for sure, especially once the Habs got their lead, they stopped trying to do very much offensively, and it was somewhat of a shooting gallery for the Kraken. So he had to be sharp. At one point, he even had the net like got pushed over on him, and it was like leaning on his neck for a second, but he never stopped tracking the puck. Like, he still knew exactly where that puck was. After the net came off of his neck, he stands up, goes down to the butterfly, makes a good pad save, and then he's right back to work. I mean, he played an excellent game there. And, you know, if you take the way the Habs played that third period and you put different version of Caden Primo in the net there, or you put Philip Grubauer in the net, I guess, that game could have got close. Like, it could have got tight at the end. They could have been, you know, not necessarily blowing the 5-1 lead, but might have ended 5-3, might have ended 5-4. It would have been at least a lot more stressful than it was. And he was that calm. He was tracking the puck well, and he was just playing an excellent game in net. So hopefully more of that from him. You know, we always want the goaltender situation to get figured out in the wake of the Carey Price era. And I'll tell you what, I watched Jacob Fowler the other night for Boston College, and he was magnificent. So I could say the same thing for the goaltending situation that I said for the defense. They've got some exciting prospects coming up. Jakub Dobish playing quite well for the Rocket right now. Jacob Fowler killing it in the NCAA. And then you got Samuel Montembeau, and you got Caden Primo doing pretty well in the NHL. So the answer's got to be there. Like, one of those guys has got to be the answer. And it'll just take some time for us to figure that out. And so far, you know, we've had good games from Samuel Montembeau this season for sure. And we've also seen some great games from Caden Primo as well. So it's good. I think they're going to figure it out sooner than later. I also thought Nick Suzuki played really well in that game. Beautiful snipe, obviously. Don't need to spend too much time on him. I think everybody knows how well he's playing this season, and he played well in that game as well. Alex Newhook, 2 goals. Obviously, again, the one I felt was kind of weak. That's one the goaltender probably wants back. But the first goal that he scored was just a beautiful tip on a really good point shot, and I feel like he kind of got the short end of the stick there this season with getting hurt. Coming back, they put together a really effective line with him, Yoel Armia, and Joshua Roy, and then all of a sudden he loses one of his wingers. So he's playing in a non-optimal position for him because he's not a natural center. I think he's better served on the wing. And he's got to do it with a rotating cast of line mates because everybody keeps getting hurt around him, or if he's not hurt. So I think a game like that, I think he needed it. He deserved it. He's been playing well enough to have multi-goal games. You know, even during this road trip, I think he could have had other games where he was close to multi-goal territory in terms of how well he played, but then he actually gets it there. So, yeah, you know, I don't have much else to say about that game. I thought everybody played decently. There were some performances that, you know, I didn't love, but again, I think a lot of in games where they get a lead like that early in the game, it's hard to evaluate them because I know that they just start playing completely differently as a team. So it's very difficult for me to get down on one single player and be like, oh, you played badly, because I know that part of it is the coaching staff instructing them at least to play a certain way and to play a little bit more defensively. And I don't think that suits them. And that's why you get games like this, where, again, it's tough to really evaluate individual players on their shortcomings, because you know that, you know, in an ideal world, that's not how they'd be playing the game at all. So I don't know. I'm not upset about the win. Team Tank, don't be upset about the win. They're going to be doing some losing coming up here soon, so wouldn't worry about it too much. They're gonna get themselves probably close to, if not into, that bottom five for a top five pick in the summer. So I'm going to cut it off there, because I think you guys can probably hear at this point my voice is failing me faster and faster. So what are we running? We're running almost 18 minutes. C'est une soirée pas mal typique pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I'd appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.